Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Yes, war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Gonna lay down my hymn book down by the riverside.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, is Colin Carl, a professor in the Security Studies Program at the Edmund A. Walsh School for Foreign Service at Georgetown University and an advisor to President Barack Obama's presidential campaign. From February 2009 to December 2011, he was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East at the Pentagon. He's the author of State Scarcity and Civil Strife in the Developing World and is a regular consultant to the Department of Defense and the intelligence community. Welcome to Background Briefing, Colin Carl.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be with you.
And clearly from the Republican convention, both candidates, Romney and Ryan, barely mentioned national security and particularly the war in Afghanistan. It actually was mentioned by Clint Eastwood in his strange dialogue with an empty chair. But then what Eastwood's reference was kind of bizarre, so she's asking the invisible Barack Obama whether he'd consulted with the Russians. My recollection is that it was George W. Bush who got us into the Afghan war.
Yeah, no, I mean, we live in strange times. For the first time in a generation, you have a Democratic candidate for president, Barack Obama, who, has an overwhelming advantage in the confidence of the American public when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, poll after poll suggests, and it doesn't matter how you ask the question in terms of general confidence in foreign policy or his leadership as commander in chief, or whether you ask about specific issues like Iraq or counterterrorism. And then on the other hand, you have the Republican Party, which I think takes it for granted that they're the party that has kind of the most credibility on foreign policy and national security affairs. And you have a guy who's auditioning to be commander-in-chief, Mitt Romney, who for the first time in 60 years at a Republican convention doesn't mention an ongoing war. So we're kind of an upside-down world.
Well, but what's strange about Romney is that for all the time he's been running for president of the United States, and it's at least 10 years, he doesn't appear to have bothered to tutor himself about international relations and national security affairs. It's almost as though he feels that can be outsourced for the vice president in charge of foreign policy.
Well, but then again, he didn't compliment his ticket with anybody who has any more foreign policy experience or interest than he did. I mean, Paul Ryan was not a foreign policy guy. He's a budget guy. So, normally a president like that, a presidential nominee like that would have gone out to try to compliment the ticket. I mean, I'm not a fan of Dick Cheney, but, George W. Bush went out and recognized that, he had a short resume on foreign affairs, and he picked Dick Cheney to be his running mate for that reason. I think the thing that's substantively concerning, look, I mean, both Romney and Ryan are smart guys. Nobody's doubting that. But neither one of them has a lot of interest in foreign affairs nor a lot of expertise in it. So the question then becomes, who's advising them? Because the challenge was that George W. Bush didn't have a lot of experience in foreign affairs either. And, people didn't pay a lot of attention to who were advising him. And as a consequence, we got, some of the greatest foreign policy disasters of our generation. And it concerns me very much that something like 70% of the named advisors to Romney's campaign on foreign policy were staunch advocates of the war in Iraq. And I think, this world is a dangerous and uncertain place, and I'm concerned about the direction Romney might take it, given, who's whispering in his ear.
Again, I'm speaking with Colin Carl, who's a professor in the Security Studies Program at the Edmund A. Walsh School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University and an advisor to the Barack Obama presidential campaign. He was a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Middle East at the Pentagon and is talking to us from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. So at this point, it appears to be that the most prominent advisor, whose fingerprints seem to be on what little we see of Romney's foreign policy, is Dan Senor. He was with him in Israel when he made a less than spectacular appearance there. But there are persistent rumors coming out of, particularly in the Israeli press, that there's an impending war in Iran that could erupt with an Israeli strike on Iran before the elections. And of course, there's a lot of speculation in the press about that. From your point of view as a foreign policy advisor to President Obama, that's got to be the greatest nightmare, isn't it? I mean, is he simply that vulnerable to being whipsawed by some event outside of his control?
You know, it's difficult to say. I mean, the Romney, the candidate, has blasted President Obama's support for Israel and argued that the president's been soft on Iran. And yet, when you kind of dig below the surface, there's not a lot of there to those criticisms. And in fact, you know, Romney's stated policies on what he would do to support Israel's security or what he would do to put pressure on Iran and ensure that they don't get a nuclear weapon are basically descriptions of Obama's current policy, masquerading as criticism. And as it relates to the specific possibility of an Israeli strike, you know, they've kind of been all over the place, frankly. On the way to Jerusalem, Dan Senor suggested that a President Romney would, you know, basically greenlight an Israeli strike. The candidate himself walked that back a little bit in the following day, but then his campaign has said things in the other direction. So I don't really know. It's like on a lot of these foreign policy issues, you don't really know where Romney stands. I will say that the president, President Obama, is in lockstep with the Israelis on the objective of preventing Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. And he's committed to using all instruments of national power, leaving all options on the table, even to include military force to secure that objective. He just believes that Iran is not on the verge of getting a nuclear weapon and that we still have time to pursue a peaceful diplomatic solution, which I think everybody would agree is preferable than to kind of launching the United States willy-nilly into another war in the Middle East.
So are you concerned, though, about a foreign policy incident coming out of somewhere that's going to whipsaw the entire election? I mean, there's been a history of it in the extent to which, the hostage crisis in Iran affected Jimmy Carter's re-election, and then no question that the 9/11 strike affected the subsequent presidential elections. And if you can go back to 1968, where an obscure Palestinian upset with Senator Kennedy's vote on supplying aircraft to Israel killed Senator Kennedy, who would probably have been the next president. So it's almost as though, in many curious ways, that we don't necessarily control our foreign policy destiny or our even domestic destiny in terms of who gets elected. These wildcards can happen abroad. And another example, of course, is the often stated notion that Angela Merkel holds President Obama's fate in her hands.
Well, I mean, it's true that, you know, we live in an interconnected world and we have interest all over the globe, and what happens in far-flung places can have reverberations into our economy and into our security. So I think you're right on that. I don't really feel comfortable speculating as to whether I think, you know, the specific crux of your question about whether Israel will take action prior to our election. I think that, they're making their own calculations. I don't think, frankly, that they're driven predominantly by our political calendar. I think that the Israeli leadership, for completely understandable reasons, takes the threat that Iran's nuclear program poses to them very seriously, as does the United States, as does President Obama. I think they're going to make their own decisions, and President Obama has clearly stated that, you know, Israel has the right to defend itself. But I think the president has been clear. Look, the crippling sanctions that we put in place on Iran have just been in place now for a couple of months. They're just starting to bite. There's still time to put pressure on Iran to come to the table and negotiate in good faith and come to a peaceful diplomatic solution. And so I think, you know, it would be good if we kind of all took a breath on the Iranian issue and let this play out and not make it part of our politics.
So, Colin Carl, back to the notion then that we are in a sort of topsy-turvy world now, where traditionally the Republicans have dominated the national security portfolio, or at least they've appeared to be had a stronger suit and more public support for their performance on the national security arena. And often it's often been argued that the Democrats have been defensive, going back to the Cold War, or whether they're being too soft on the communists, which was the charge that the Republicans leveled, or I guess in the subsequent war on terror, being too soft on the terrorists. And there's no question that Karl Rove kept floating that notion, particularly about John Kerry wanting to give therapy to the terrorists, etc. That's clearly has no traction with Obama, but how much is it counting, do you think?
You know, how much is it counting in the election?
With the American people in terms of priorities and
Look, I think there's no question that the economy is the central issue, not only, you know, in the daily lives of most individuals, but also the issue that they're most concerned about in the election. So, you know, that said, we also know that this is going to be an incredibly close election. And if 3, 4, 5% of voters are, you know, making up their minds in part about who they think will be the most trustworthy as commander-in-chief, I think that works to Obama's advantage decisively. So, you know, I think one of the things you'll see that's a tonal difference in this year's convention in Charlotte and just in the whole campaign on national security is the Democrats aren't on the defensive. In fact, we're quite comfortable going on the offensive. We're extraordinarily proud of the president's record. You know, think of the inheritance. You know, not only did he inherit the worst economic situation since the Great Depression, he inherited two wars. A global campaign against al-Qaeda. He's ended one of those wars, as he promised to do, in Iraq. He's transitioning the effort in Afghanistan, and will end the war there by 2014. At the same time, he's shown al-Qaeda that he means business. He's done more damage to al-Qaeda senior leadership in the last 3.5 years than in any equivalent period of time since 9/11. And that's not just bringing Osama bin Laden to justice. There's a whole host of senior leaders who are no longer with us because of the president's actions. So I think it's hard for the Republicans to pigeonhole this guy as soft or hard or whatever. I mean, the truth is he's a strong, pragmatic, principled leader, and I think most Americans kind of see him as a steady hand on foreign policy and have a lot of faith in him.
So do you think then that the president is going to take the gloves off a little, not just in this arena, but just in other arenas, but let's stay with foreign policy? Surely he can make the argument that he is getting us out of wars, and the other guys, both the previous guy, McCain, and the current representative of the Republicans, Mitt Romney, have on a number of occasions talked about a need to go after Iran, to go after the Assad regime in Syria, that the president is being soft on the Syrian dictator and not being tough enough on the Iranians. I think there's much of a question there that there's a difference. One guy's trying to get us out of a war and the other's party's trying to get us into wars.
You know, I think a lot of Romney's talk on foreign policy are basically these kind of vague platitudes to American greatness and exceptionalism and tough talk. And, you know, here's a little secret. You know, Democrats love the United States too, and we believe that the United States is the greatest country in the world and that we're an extraordinarily powerful source for good in the world. But, you know, you don't govern effectively simply through swagger and tough talk. I mean, we learned that on foreign policy from the previous administration, which I think most Americans judge to be pretty much the most disastrous administration in foreign policy in recent memory. So, you know, the strange thing about Governor Romney's positions is that on a lot of these positions, he talks tough, but his core substantive arguments, as far as we can tell, don't really differ much from the president, whether you're talking about Iran or you're talking about Afghanistan. So there's kind of criticism, but not really a lot of there in terms of difference with the president's position. And then there are a few places where he's laid out very clear distinctions, and in those handful of places, it's just downright scary. I mean, this Cold War mentality towards Russia, declaring them as our number one geopolitical foe, threats to basically start a trade war with China on day one in office, the occasional bellicose rhetoric on Iran and Syria. I think in those few areas where they've tried to draw sharp distinctions, the vast majority of the American public will realize that that would take us backwards to a much more confrontational posture and a very overly simplistic view of a complicated world.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Colin Carl.
Sure. Happy to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Colin Carl, who joined us from the Democratic National Convention in North Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a professor in the Security Studies program at the Edmund A. Walsh School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University and advisor to Barack Obama's presidential campaign from February 2009 to December 2011. He was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East at the Pentagon, and he's the author of State Scarcity and Civil Strife in the Developing World and is a regular consultant to the Department of Defense and the Intelligence Community. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the secret intelligence money behind the Reverend Moon's cult.
Don't know nothing about my soul.